Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. I don't know about you, but it's hard to imagine what it would be like to be blind or deaf and how one lives one's life day to day. So how much more difficult would it be to be deaf and blind? What exactly does it mean to be deafblind? That's the phrase that's used. Joining me on the line now to talk to me about this is Marie Whitfield from Deafblind UK to talk to me about that and the organisation and what they're hoping to achieve with Deafblind Awareness Week. Good evening, Marie.
Hello, good evening, Clive.
Thank you ever so much for joining me. Now, am I understanding this properly? Does being deafblind mean a person is fully, completely deaf and completely blind? Or is it only a partial impediment? How does it work?
Well, this is one of the biggest misconceptions that we face. I mean, being deafblind means that you do have a sight and hearing loss. To the point that it affects your communication, your mobility and ability maybe to access information. But deafblindness is a spectrum. For example, I'm sure this might resonate with a lot of your listeners, is that you could go from the bottom of the spectrum where you are not hearing people on the phone very well, you're mm-hmm. asking them to repeat things, and you maybe have glasses for reading. At that point, you are dealing with a dual sensory loss. To the other part of the spectrum, where, like you say, people don't have any hearing, or they don't have any they don't have any sight.
But I think it must be really frightening for people who are completely sight and completely hearing impaired. But even then, it can have such a major impact on one's life. What triggers and what happens in the body that causes people to become deafblind?
There are conditions, certain conditions such as Usher syndrome, macula, which it deals with the eyesight. The thing is, what happens within a person, especially if they weren't congenitally, so born deafblind, the demise of your hearing and your sight becomes, you become isolated and lonely. You may have difficulty expressing your communication. So a lot of the world is cut off from you. And at Deafblind UK, that's something that we're trying to support people with communication methods such as Deafblind Manual, which is on the hand. It's very similar to BFL, but it's a sensory communication, so that'll be on your hand. Mm-hmm. That can be learned, but you know, it is very, very difficult for somebody who was outgoing, and you can still be outgoing with a dual sensory loss, but somebody who maybe was driving, somebody who did a lot of reading or auditory things like listening to music, mm-hmm. that is shut off from you. So it becomes a very enclosed world for you.
How many deafblind people are there in the UK? Because I would imagine it's more common than we would perceive.
Well, we support people, about 23,000 people at the moment. But there are around about 400,000 people in the UK who are deafblind, and you know, due to the ageing population, there could be even more. Like there's been a survey of like 600,000 people in the UK, and that will happen by the 2030.
That's extraordinary.
But I know, Clive. I would say as well, because people don't identify themselves as deafblind, that figure is completely, it is going to change so much. Mm. I mean, if people would, maybe take a look at their family or their friends who are asking for repeated, you know, sentences or having trouble seeing, or, that, you know, we can think of people like that, I think, in our lives.
What coping mechanisms can people who are deafblind use? I mean, this is where Deafblind UK comes in. You know, what sort of things can we do to help somebody in our family that may be deafblind, or we may be experiencing that ourselves?
It is a really individual situation, because as I said, there was a spectrum, and so there's varying degrees. I mean, somebody, like I've said before, who's deafblind may not have lost all their sight. We can do things like maybe make sure if they want to carry on, you know, they're so involved in the environment that around them and the community. They can use canes, that dogs, guide dogs, and to, you know, access work, to access social gatherings. And somebody who is deafblind will identify themselves with a red and a white cane. And I presume, Clive, you would know that somebody who has a sight loss would have a white cane. But to show the difference, the cane is red and white. And what we can do is, in this day and age as well. Yeah, and actually guide dogs have a patch on their harness, which is checkered, and it is red and white as well.
Oh, but now I've seen that.
I
didn't know what it meant. We're familiar with the white cane, as you say, but I wasn't familiar with the red cane or the checkered.
Yeah, I mean, we at Deafblind UK do deafblind awareness training. That's available for everybody. We do webinars for that at this time, obviously, because of what's going on in the world. We do, we support people within their home. We have a care and support service for those who require it, and sighted guides. We're also caring for people, as well as being deafblind, their families and carers. It's to overcome that isolation, that loneliness, and to help and support people be part of their family, because, you know, the family may not know how to communicate if it's required. I mean, there's some people that, you know, that have been, our members are volunteers who are helping nationally to support people who are on their own, giving them a phone call, you know, giving them a text, and that's done every week. So hats off to our members who are taking their experiences and helping others.
Yeah, that is clearly, it's quite scientific, really, when you think about it, because it's quite a complex thing to experience. Now, I mean, where communication methods are concerned, for somebody who is completely sight impaired and hearing impaired, how would they go about communicating? Because, as you said earlier on, it's a spectrum thing, in the sense that somebody may have some residual sight or hearing, so there is a method of communication that you've already explained. But for somebody who is totally devoid of sight and hearing, how do they communicate? Because I guess that's where the support person comes in.
Yes, that can be done. That can be done in the care and support service. But with communication, such as, I don't know if you've encountered Helen Keller's story, and that's part of the celebration of the Deafblind Awareness Week. Well, Helen Keller was very young when she was introduced to a lady who introduced her to objects of reference, so a key, you know, for the front door, a cup for drinking. You could have a glass, which would mean that's pop or water. There's also, like I said, Helen Keller, she brought the fact that people can communicate with deafblind manual. Now, this is quite important. It can be very complex to some people. But I would say some people with sight who may have tunnel vision or have some residual sight would either can use BSL as well. So, you know, the people who are living with BSL as well, sorry, with deafblindness, they can communicate very well with predominantly within their home, what they require, what they need. But I must say, it is very, very difficult for some people. If you've had some sight and hearing before, I think it's much easier. But if you've been dealing and living with deaf blindness for such a long time, people around you, that's the key. The people around you need to learn those forms of communication to interact with you. You may be, you know, inside telling somebody you're upset, or you want to tell them you're upset. But without those forms of communication, as I've specified, that's not going to happen. We can have, people can live such an independent life as well. It's not always about somebody being deafblind and they're on their own. Some people have a varied life. Mm-hmm. And they can use, like I say, I'll come back to the objects of reference, they can use Braille. And these days as well, Clive, with technology, some of the technology that's around now is fantastic.
Do you know, I was coming on to that. What's around? Yeah. What can people use?
Well, how I would say now is, for people who are listening, if you can get there's certain apps that might help your family member, your friend, that you make sure that the piece, like the iPad or the phone that you're using, uses speech. Mm-hmm. And things that you press, it will resonate speech. You can actually make everything on your screen bigger with software. Mm-hmm. Yet, therefore, one of our members is communicating with a friend through email. And she has a screen reader that will tell her what she's writing, what her friend's written. It isn't as isolated as people might think, because the technology these days, it's fantastic. I would say to your listeners that have a look for apps that also give you information on BSL, apps that can enhance the phone or the piece of equipment that you have. Mm-hmm. This will also... colours, somebody has some residual, colours can be used in some software to represent different things that the person wants to do, like watch or listen to YouTube. Mm-hmm. And it is incredible what's around, but that doesn't mean everybody can access that.
No. And everybody
can.
I've heard, you know, people who have had talking microwaves, for example, that will actually, yeah, you know, it may have a Braille keypad for the sake of argument, but then it will actually talk back to you to confirm the commands that you put in. And also things, yeah, that would go on your cup so you don't overfill it, so you get an audible sound or a tactile sensation.
That's
to
exactly
tell you that
right,
you,
yes,
you're not going to scald yourself by overfilling your cup of tea,
yeah,
for example.
Yeah, the cup, it's a little sensor that's on the edge of your cup. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, as you fill it up, when it gets to that level, it will make a sound for you. The microwaves that you mentioned, they are fantastic. But if somebody's not able to hear those, you know, that command from you, we have a thing called bumper stickers, mm-hmm, that are put onto buttons and will let you know what you know, defrost, or you know, if you want to make it make different things in your microwave. Also, that can be adapted for a lot of things in the home. The bumper stickers are very small, just a raised, very small raised area. Mm-hmm. But you can put it on a cooker, so you know where the on and off is. Mm-hmm. And you can put it to a point where you might always use, like, maybe 200, and you'll put it on there so you know that you can cook, you can use, like you say, Clive, you can use things within your home that you can, oh, it's very, very adaptable. But those things are done with assessments, deafblind assessments, mm-hmm, that are done through the sensory support teams, especially in Birmingham. They do that. We can come out as well, and with the on the care and support side, we can assist somebody to adapt themselves as things are changing for them. Their hearing may be diminishing, their eyesight may be diminishing, they may have macular degeneration. Those things that are changing in people's lives that can be scary, that's something we can support and help the person to be. And I keep coming to this, Clive, be as independent as possible.
Absolutely, and I think that that really is key. And talking about independence, are deafblind people able to continue in employment, or would they have to change their employment to something that's more conducive to their situation at a time?
That is a very good point. It does depend on the person's dual sensory loss. Again, I'll come back to technology. A lot of people are in the tech world that can carry on in the tech world. Having transport to get to work, that can be sorted out. Mm-hmm. That can be sorted out, right? But there are people that have, through their lives, been in maybe a noisy environment, and that might be in a factory. I've used that as an example because of the pounding of the machinery. And many years ago, there wasn't the health and safety regulations that were about before. And that has exasperated people's hearing loss and their sight loss. And so they know they wouldn't be able to go into back into that industry. I'm thinking about it quite to be clear, is because it does depend on the spectrum that you're on. Mm. And that's what I'd like to get across. And you did ask me that question, is somebody totally have sight loss and totally have hearing loss? It isn't always the way. It isn't right. Always the way. So to answer your question, people are able to do that. People do a lot of work that is encapsulating their dual sensory loss. So,
sure.
Yes, I would say people are able to work, but it is a big, big loss for people. People's communication with others.
And confidence as well.
Yes.
I think that's a big one.
I was going to say that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things are suddenly not within your remit, your confidence. You were in charge, you know, of what you saw, what you heard, what you did. And it does come to a moment in people's lives where they are very upset about having to rely on others.
Yes, and, I mean, I'm for somebody like me who is, 54 and severely independent the point of, obsession with it, then should that happen to me, I think I'd find that very difficult to deal with. Now, sadly in society, there still seems to be stigma around this, like there is with a lot of things, and lots of misconceptions. What would you say is the biggest misconception and the biggest stigma? Because I think society still has to open up more, and I still think it has a lot to learn.
I would say to that, Clive, is that people are no longer a person. They're a condition. And therefore, another person would just, that person can't see.
Mm.
That person can't hear. That's it. No. That person is a human being. That person has feelings. The person who has needs to communicate with others. Obviously, we all do as human beings.
Mm.
I think that we've got to see people with a dual sensory loss, who are deafblind, as another member of society.
Yes.
And to be part of our society. I don't think there should be any sort of, putting to one side that person. How can we? I think we need to change as people who are hearing. I actually wear glasses for reading.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a sensory loss.
Yes.
I can't. As soon as I take them off, I've just done it myself, Clive. My world's really changed.
Yes.
So let's have some compassion about how that person's world has changed and try and involve them in the world that they know and they can experience. I mean, we have some of our trustees who have done some fundraising. A gentleman called John Churcher, he climbed the Eiger.
Really?
And Robert Nolan, he climbed the he did the Three Peaks. And that's just a couple of atrocities. We've had people jumping out of aeroplanes for fundraising. People can live a very, very valuable life. People with a death blindness. It's not the end. That's what I need to say. It's not the end. It may feel like it. You may feel so alone. Mm-hmm. But I hope if there's anybody listening who can identify anybody in their life who has a dual sensory loss, please, please have a look at our website. Gain some more information. That's deafblind.org.uk. Get some information from there. Ask for our support. We can help. We are currently now, currently, like I say, more involved with families and carers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the richness of your support around you can... there's nothing can stop you.
No, that's right. And you mustn't let it either. Now, this is where I think Deaf Blind Awareness Week comes in, isn't it? Tell me about Deaf Blind Awareness Week and what happens and all about it.
Well, during the week of the 27th of June till the Saturday the 3rd of July, we're going to raise awareness of deaf blindness. There'll be this year we're running a campaign to share stories of people who are deaf blind, to let others know what it really means and how it really affects people. We want to overcome this misconception, like we said, that people who are deaf blind can't see or hear anything. They still have sensory feelings. We've been limited with COVID, obviously, so the campaign is remote and digital. But like I've said, we're raising awareness in that week, but so we can carry on raising that awareness for the rest of the year.
And
we're not going to limit ourselves to that week, you know, Carl.
No, that's right. It has to go on all year round, doesn't it, really, for obvious reasons. Just give your website another mention, Marie, if you will.
It's deafblind.org.uk, and we are available on social media as well. I would like to say, if you don't mind, Clive, after having a chat with you today, and people may want to have some more information, we have our helpline, which is 0800, mm-hmm. 0800 free, so call us at any time, and Monday to Friday. I'll say that again, sorry, 0800 132 320. We also have BSL Relay, so that's available for people, and anybody who wants to text. May I say that number, Clive?
Of course.
Yeah. The text number is 07 90 357 2885. And just if you know anybody who's having difficulties in everyday life, who is struggling to come to terms with deaf blindness, then please, please get in touch.
Marie Whitfield from Deaf Blind UK, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Live. That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 8 p.m. If you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcast or wherever you get your podcast from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by Clive Payne and produced by Andy Caddick.